You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 364.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, hello, Gornflick.
Kevin, hey!
What's going on?
I am just excited for this show today. We are going to talk about some of my favorite things. How about you?
I'm good. This will be good. We had a couple of things for today's show. We have a top 4.5 list coming up later on.
I'm jazzed about that.
People love when we list stuff.
Yeah. It's the most organized thing we do, isn't it?
Once in a while we get organized. Not every week.
And make a list.
This will be one of those times. Let's start with your signature Flopcast segment, Cornflake. What is this week's National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
I kind of can't believe, Kevin, in all the years that we've been doing this show, that this particular day has not come up. I almost thought I must have just forgotten, but I've checked with you, and we've not covered this day yet. April 28th? Is National Superhero Day.
National Superhero Day, yeah, as far as I can remember, I did not consult my spreadsheet, which lists all of our whatever days, but based on my own feeble memory, I don't think we've celebrated Superhero Day.
For all the talk we've done of superheroes...
All we do is talk about superheroes.
We've never discussed National Superhero Day, but okay. There is a Superhero Day.
Well, here we go.
It's on the 28th, before the month lets out.
I know quite a bit about superheroes. Is there anything I need to know about Superhero Day, specifically?
Well, April superheroes bring May villains.
Well, Free Comic Book Day is in May. So this is just a few days before, like a week before, a major superhero event on the calendar. Because I believe this year it's Saturday, May 4th. It coincides with Star Wars, May the 4th Be With You this year.
That is a beautiful collision of all things geek.
Free, yeah, it really is. What a day for geeks, for Free Comic Book Day. I think I'm going to a burlesque show that night.
Awesome.
Our friend Nikki Luparelli, of course, who does so many wonderful burlesque shows and concerts, and she is hosting a Star Wars-themed burlesque concert on May the 4th.
So May the 4th be with you.
So I'm going to be there. It's also Free Comic Book Day, and we will just be coming off of Superhero Day, evidently. I'm just learning now.
April superheroes bring May free comics.
There you go.
So this National Day dates back to 1995.
Okay.
Marvel started it. Marvel Comics.
Oh,
on April 28th. I'm not quite sure why they picked April 28th.
Yeah,
I'm not that much of an investigative reporter.
Turbulent times for Marvel Comics, the mid-90s. Comic nerds like me in the audience remember those times of ownership changes within Marvel and distribution weirdness happening in the comic book industry of the mid-90s. So did you have some superhero talk for us in honor of Superhero Day?
It's funny you should ask, Kevin. Usually you're the one with the hot superhero talk.
Yes, red hot superhero talk.
Well, and there certainly could be some if
you
wanted.
That's how I charm the ladies.
It's the hot superhero talk.
Yes.
And certainly there could be some on the show if we wanted, because there have been a couple of superhero movies that have come out recently.
Well, yeah, like every 3 weeks a superhero movie comes out. Absolutely.
And a couple that have been of particular interest to us recently. There's Captain Marvel and, of course, Shazam.
The other Captain Marvel.
Right.
Yes, they're both Captain Marvels.
And I know that you've seen Shazam.
I've seen them both. You would really like Shazam. You'd like them both. You'd enjoy both of these movies. They're great.
Yeah, I'm getting the feeling from what I've heard about it that it is right up my alley.
I've been on two other podcasts just to discuss the Shazam movie. I did an episode of Earth Station 1 all about Shazam, and they also had me on Earth Station DCU, of course, talking Shazam.
Well, should we be timely and be like all the other podcasts and at least talk about them a little bit?
Oh, if you want to hear me talking about Shazam, there's like 2 hours of it available strewn throughout the ESO network.
Well, there is one superhero that I feel like I'm pretty well equipped to discuss.
Yes, Blue Devil.
It's blue.
It is blue. I'm close.
Not Devil, though. I'm talking about a superhero known as the Tick.
Of course, the Tick.
I have gotten way into the Tick, and I didn't discover it until late last year, so I got to see all the episodes once they were out.
Yeah, because it's been out for a couple of years, the latest version of the Tick.
Right.
I have not seen it yet. I never watched the cartoon.
Right.
I never watched the original live-action series back in whenever that was.
Yeah, it was the 2000s. It was kind of like a sitcom something. Style.
Yeah, and that was Patrick Warburton.
Yes.
From Seinfeld. Now, is there a new guy playing the Tick in the new
show?
Okay, so it's not Patrick Warburton anymore?
It is not.
Okay.
It is Peter Serafinowicz.
I don't know who that is.
I've talked about Peter Serafinowicz on the show before. It doesn't mean you know who he is.
Yeah.
He's a British comedian. He also does a bunch of sketch comedy.
Did you see any of the old Tick shows, the cartoon or the earlier live action?
I did. And even back then, it was not a show that I went out of my way to watch.
Yeah, I somehow missed all of it.
And it's interesting that we don't know much about it because Ben Edlund, the creator, he's from these parts.
Yeah, he was a local guy. Like going back to the comic book in the 80s, and even the comic I've seen very little of. I've read maybe one or two issues of The Tick from back then. Yeah, Ben Edlund was working at New England Comics, which was a chain of comic stores. Still is. There are still New England Comics shops in this area. And then New England Comics started publishing their own comic book. The Tick, and Ben Edlund got pretty big in TV. He's done a lot of TV writing and producing. I know he's worked on Gotham.
And he's very much involved in the show that's on Amazon now.
The new Tick.
Yes.
You like it.
Oh, and also, you're going to think this is weird coming from me, Kevin.
Yep.
But I like the new Tick because it's darker. By, like, a lot.
Mm.
And there's also the Terror. You would say that he's the biggest and baddest of the bad guys. Are you familiar with Jackie Earle Haley?
Of course. Is he on this?
Bad News Bears, right?
Yeah, I know Jackie Earle Haley all too well.
Not only is he on this, he's the biggest and baddest villain of them all. He is the Terror.
I think you've just sold me on watching this show, Cornflake. I didn't know they had Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and that's Kelly Leak from all the Bad News Bears movies.
Yes.
And many other things. He was on Get a Life. He's Rorschach in the Watchmen movie.
Right.
Sure.
And he's also played Freddy Krueger in a Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Not at all.
So he's perfect for the Taylor.
He's creepy.
Right. He would be a laughable old geezer if he wasn't so insanely evil. Another name people might know from the show is Alan Tudyk.
He's on this thing too?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
And guess who the new villain is? You'll never guess.
I'll never guess.
It's like they knew I was watching, Kevin.
Yep.
The new supervillain is a lobster.
Well, hey.
It's a lobstercules.
Okay.
And it's a girl.
Sure.
And she has henchmen with Boston accents.
Oh, no.
But I'm not going to give away any more. So, that is my superhero talk.
All right. Well, I'm sold. I will add this to the pile of stuff that hopefully I will have time to see someday.
I cannot wait to talk to you about the Tick once you watch it. Well, because I'm in love with this show.
It might take a while for me to get to it, as you know. But hopefully someday.
I'll continue to hold down the fort on the TikTok until you are ready to join in.
Someday we shall return to TikTok in honor of Superhero Day. You know what else I brought with me? Oh, speaking of supervillains, did you know that there's a supervillain named the Calculator?
What?
DC Comics had a goofy supervillain named the Calculator back in the 70s. In the old days, he actually had like a helmet with a keypad on it, like a calculator who looked ridiculous.
I kind of wondered if this was an anthropomorphic calculator.
Just a giant calculator with little arms and legs? That would have been good. Yeah, this was like a dude in a calculator-themed costume running around in the 70s. And he's a more serious type, like computer hacker dude these days. He's not as goofy anymore. But we were talking about calculators earlier because I know you're a big fan of the calculator.
Because I can't stop talking about calculators.
Like an old school calculator.
Love
calculators. Which people don't really have anymore because now your phone has a calculator on it. Right.
You got to think back. You got to think back past your phone.
Used to have a separate thing, a calculator.
Right.
But months ago, we were talking about my old calculator. I have an old calculator. Like even those 80s calculators with little solar panel on it, you know?
Yes.
Older than that. And I came across it in a box of junk the other day. And as a fan of old calculators, I thought you would appreciate this one.
So you know I will.
I have it here. I don't know if it still works, so I thought, let's see if we can fire it up. Look at this calculator. Okay, this is a Sharp calculator. I'm not sure what year this is from. I'm guessing the 70s.
That's how it looks.
Yeah. The battery compartment has, like, scotch tape all over it.
Yes, I noticed that.
I don't know if there's a battery inside it. If there's a battery in here, I'm guessing it's not in good shape.
Right.
But it also has an AC adapter. This thing has not been activated in decades.
We don't know what's going to happen when we plug it in.
Let's see if I plug this into the wall outlet, if it'll still fire up.
I'm ready to call 911 in case something bad happens.
This could be more dangerous than the supercomputer. There's an on-off switch on the side. I'm going to flip it to on right now.
Let's see what happens.
Let's see what we got. Look at that. A little green zero popped right up.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
We're in business, Cornflake.
Look at the glow of that zero.
This is the old-fashioned glowing green calculator.
So much better than those solar-powered ones.
Yeah, with the boring gray screen.
Yeah, this is, and the black numbers.
Yeah, this is green. Glowing green numbers. We can do math here in the studio
now. Beautiful. Live math on the Flopcast. It's what the listeners have always wanted.
Hang on, everybody. We're going to play with a calculator. What are we going to do now? Well, we know it works.
What happens?
I guess all we can do is write boobies. So let me see if I go. Right, it's 5318008.
And then you flip it upside down.
Here we go. Okay, that's some old school calculator entertainment.
You remember that right off the top of your head. That's beautiful.
That's
well, what happens if you multiply 9999999999 all
times,
the way across?
Times boobies?
Yes.
Let's see if we can get this thing to explode with math. Yeah, then you get like the letter C appears on the end to cover the freakishly large numbers. You know?
I never understood what that C meant.
Nobody knows what that means. All right, well, this is great. We have a 40-year-old calculator that still works. We wrote boobies.
Yep.
And I guess we're done with it now.
What more is there to do?
But that was fiercely entertaining in a way that calculators are not entertaining anymore.
It's true.
Got to go back to the old ways.
I could have just enjoyed the glow all day.
All right.
Bask in the glow of the calculator.
It's just an impromptu calculator diversion in the middle of today's show.
Because you can't get that on any other podcast.
Back to the show. Cornflake, are you ready for this week's top 4.5 list?
I am.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1.5?
The top 4.5 list.
I sent you just a single word yesterday.
Yes.
I thought of, here's an idea for a top 4.5 list, and I sent you a word.
I couldn't believe what word you picked.
The subject of the show, what I sent you was the word wonder. So the subject is wonder.
Yes.
I don't know what that means to you.
It means a whole bunch of different things.
So who knows what's going to happen. Let's go. Cornflake, what do you have on our wonder list at number 4?
Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread, of course. I made a note of that, although it did not make my list. Because it's lousy. Are you a fan of Wonder Bread?
I don't think Wonder Bread is half that. Well,
yeah.
You know me, I'd take an English muffin over Wonder Bread or anything else on any given day.
It's a bland, boring, generic white bread.
But it's full of wonder, Kevin.
Is it though? I appreciate it as a goofy retro product.
Yes.
With the big stupid red and blue and yellow dots on the packaging. I like the package. I like the look.
I will admit that it is not the bread that I select if I am going to buy bread at the store.
The bread itself I have zero interest in.
But it's certainly tied up in memories. I mean, this is bread that has been in production here in the U.S. since 1921.
Ooh, you say that as if you've done some Wonder Bread research, haven't you?
No, I just know these things about Wonder Bread. Do you know the catchphrase, the greatest thing since sliced bread?
I've heard that before, yeah.
It's connected to Wonder Bread.
Does that specifically refer to Wonder Bread?
Yes, because it was the first bread to be sold pre-sliced on a widespread basis back in 1930.
I had no idea. All right, now I'm coming around on this Wonder Bread.
Well, if I was going to put it on my list, I had to say something about it other than Wonder Bread. It's bread.
Which is their current very disappointing catchphrase.
Nobody watches commercials anymore, but if you did, you'd hear Wonder Bread. It's bread.
Yeah. The first pre-sliced bread was Wonder Bread.
Yes.
Okay. That counts for something.
So places where you can get Wonder Bread.
The store.
But Not in just any location in the world.
Yep.
This bread is made in the U.S.
Yeah.
Still made in Illinois. It's made in Canada.
Okay.
It's made in Mexico.
Yeah.
And Pakistan.
All right.
Now, the Pakistan manufacturer of Wonder Bread is not related. Like, U.S., Canada, and Mexico, they're all affiliated. The Pakistan one is just random.
Somebody in Pakistan just decided to start their own Wonder Bread company, and who's going to stop me? I'm all the way over here in Pakistan.
In 1983,
yes. We can just do whatever we want.
Pretty much. Pakistan decided they liked Wonder Bread, and they just make it on their own.
All right. I'm not going to stop them.
I guess, you know, to each their own. So there you go. Wonder Bread at number four. Now, I have nothing else to say about Wonder Bread, so what do you have at number four?
Well, go over to me then. I like how this is already a really stupid list. But that's okay. I'm going to start in the music category on my Wonder list, and that is a band that I don't think we've ever discussed on the show. Do you know a band called The Wonder Stuff?
I don't.
Yeah, I think you would like them. I'm a fan of this band, The Wonder Stuff. I became aware of them in the early 90s. This is like a British alternative rock band.
That does sound cool.
They're good. They're really good. It's almost kind of power poppy, sort of, but I think they fit more into the alt-rock category. And I became aware of them back then, around 1991, I guess. They had a song called The Size of a Cow.
I missed this somehow.
It's a good song, yeah. And the guy sings, I'm building up my problems to the size of a cow.
I loved cows back
then.
Sure. Cows were my thing. How did I not know about this?
Have you ever had a cow-sized problem?
I've had more than one cow-sized problem. We don't even have time to discuss it all on this show.
I would rather have a Heinig-sized problem. That's a cow-yak hybrid from Mongolia, the Heinig.
Yes.
Can you imagine a problem the size of a Heinig? That might be worse than a cow-sized problem.
I would agree with you. I don't know why you want a worse problem, but to each their own Heinig.
The Wonder Stuff, that was one of their big songs back then, was Size of a Cow. And also, I saw them on Late Night with David Letterman around the same time, doing a song called Welcome to the Cheap Seats. And I got their record at the time. They had an album called Never Loved Elvis. And it's a great, great album. One of my favorite albums from back then.
Wow.
Yeah, check out Never Loved Elvis, the album by The Wonder Stuff. And I have some of their other albums as well. They're still around. I've never known them to appear anywhere around here. I don't think they've toured America in a long time.
So it would take a heroic feat to get them over here.
They might jump down to Pakistan occasionally for some bread. But normally...
some unaffiliated Wonder Bread.
Yeah, but they don't get out to the States, I think. But I would recommend, I think you would enjoy The Wonder Stuff.
I think I would too.
They're at number four on my Wonder list.
So it's number three time now.
It sure is.
I'm going to pick a song I don't like.
We're sticking with music. A song you don't like at number three.
Don't like it. But the minute you said Wonder, it was all I could think about. And I blame you that this song is stuck in my head.
Okay.
They talk about Boz Scaggs, the song Lowdown at number three.
Oh.
Because it's got that hook that goes, I wonder, 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 wonder who.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that one. I had to stop and think to even recall that one, but I do remember it.
Yeah.
Very yacht rocky.
Very much, but you know, if I'm going to listen to Boz Scaggs, not a favorite of mine,
yep.
I'm probably going to listen to the Lido Shuffle.
Lido Shuffle, sure.
Sounds a little bit more like Van Morrison.
Yep.
Or
Love, Look What You've Done to Me. How about that one?
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, Heart of Mine.
Lowdown, I didn't, like...
I like some Boz Scaggs.
It's not my thing at all. And I've had a newfound appreciation lately for yacht rock, and I see where it fits in.
I think that's pretty solidly in the yacht rock category. Yeah.
I don't like it. I never liked it. I could not get away from the song, and the only words that I understood from the song, like the rest of the time, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's kind of muttering.
Yeah, and except that I wonder, 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 wonder who part.
Right.
And so... that's the only part of the song I know.
And those are like his backup ladies doing that part, right?
And that part by itself is not so bad, but it gets stuck in my head really bad.
It's kind of a plodding, meandering song, as songs go.
Yeah, it seems like an innocuous soft rock song,
yep.
And yet he's talking all about how this girl that he's singing about is kind of a hussy. And I didn't realize that.
Hate to break out the H word here on the show.
With all that muttering, you would never know it in the, you know, those pretty vocals. But it's like, what even is this?
Yeah, why? I've never really tried to figure out the lyrics to this song.
How did this song get so popular?
Yeah.
I think it must have been those pretty backup singers.
This is a bold move on your part to put this song that you have a big problem with At number three on your Wonder list.
But when I hear Wonder, I think of it.
Wonder isn't even the name of the song.
It isn't, but it's a big part of this.
That's
it's,
the part that's
the only
you.
Lyrics you understand.
Sure. So you're sticking with the Lido Shuffle?
I do like the Lido Shuffle much better.
Yeah.
That song's more fun.
I think I'm going Heart of Mine.
Okay.
Some serious Boz Scaggs soft rock.
Boz Scaggs. Why?
He's still out there.
Yeah.
He's creeping around. I'll bet he sings a low down every night.
Ugh.
Three for me. I'm going to get all my music Wonder stuff out of the way right now, starting with the Wonder stuff. And now moving on, at number three, how about Stevie Wonder?
We have a match.
I thought we might. Where's Stevie on your list?
Number two.
Two, there you go. Stevie Wonder, a legend.
I love him.
What do you like from Stevie?
I love that Don't You Worry About a Thing song.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a big fan of Isn't She Lovely?
Yep.
And Superstitious.
Yeah. Now you're in business. That's cool. How do you feel about the 80s hits?
I could do without hearing I Just Called to Say I Love You Again.
Yeah, that one we got pretty burnt out on in Part-Time Lover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's going to be stuck in my head right along with the lowdown. Why? Why did you do that?
There's some cool 80s stuff, though.
It's true. He had some...
Master Blaster is a very cool song from, like, 1980, I think. As a massive fan of the movie The Outsiders... I love his theme song for The Outsiders. He did the opening theme music is Stay Gold, and he sings at the beginning and the end of The Outsiders, bookending us watching, you know, Matt Dillon and Ralph Macchio running around beating everybody up. We get to enjoy some Stevie Wonder music, which is quite lovely.
I like his For Once in My Life song.
Sure.
That's jubilant. And I like That's What Friends Are For. I'll admit it.
Oh, me too.
Keep smiling. Keep shining.
Sure.
Knowing you can always count on me.
Yeah, I like that too, even though it's ridiculous. With Dion and Gladys.
Yeah.
And Elton and Stevie.
Boy, did they get carried away.
Sure. And We Are the World as well. You get a lot of Stevie in We Are the World. Right? He's the second vocalist you hear,
yes.
I believe. It starts with Lionel and then goes right to Stevie. And Stevie Wonder comes back at the end of We Are the World, which was recorded later. After initial big night of recording with everybody, Quincy Jones pulled some other people back into the studio a few days later to do some extra pickup vocals. So if you watch the video, you know how I like to nerd out over We Are the World?
Yes.
Watch the video, and you'll see Stevie Wonder dressed completely differently in two different shots in the video. Isn't that fascinating?
To some of us. I count myself among that bunch.
I was just learning a lot about Stevie Wonder this month because of that podcast, The Hit Parade, which I've recommended a couple of times. Alicia Dix from the Speak Up podcast recommended Hit Parade to me, and I've recommended it to other people since then. You get this fascinating history lesson in the history of pop music. The latest episode, it's called the Everybody Say Yeah edition, shows all about Stevie Wonder. He was 13 years old, had a number one song.
Yeah.
With Fingertips in 1963. It was like a novelty act, you know, when he got signed up by Motown and they called him Little Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
And he was like this novelty act. Look at this brilliant kid playing the harmonica. And then the Hit Parade episode just tracks his growth as this genius artist emerged. And then he was just on a run in the mid-70s. He won the Grammy for Album of the Year for 1974. And then won the Grammy for Album of the Year in 1975. In 1976, Paul Simon won Album of the Year, and during his acceptance speech, thanked Stevie Wonder for not releasing an album that year. Then, Stevie won Album of the Year in 1977. Pretty good.
Yeah. I remember Stevie Wonder being held up as a shining example of what you could do even if you had limitations.
Oh, did you ever see him try to play tennis on Saturday Night Live?
No.
Look that up.
Okay. It seems like he's a pretty good sport about that.
Oh, yeah. Because Eddie Murphy would do his impression of Stevie Wonder on SNL, and then they had Stevie on, and you see Stevie playing tennis. That was pretty good. Yeah, we are both massive fans, especially of his... ridiculous charity songs of the 80s. We Are the World, and That's What Friends Are For. Probably his greatest work.
I dare say.
All right, I guess so Stevie Wonder was number two for you, so we're right back at me for number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go from the Croft Super Show from Sid and Marty Croft back in 1976, Wonderbug.
What is Wonderbug?
That was one of the segments on the Croft Super Show, which was a Captain Cool and the Kongs hosting goofy live-action segments for the kids. And that's where you had Bigfoot and Wild Boy and Dr. Shrinker, Magic Mongo, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl, all that stuff in Wonderbug. And this was part of that dune buggy mania that swept across America in the 70s. We were all fascinated by dune buggies.
Yes.
For some reason.
Some of us are still fascinated by dune buggies.
Yeah, we discussed this on the show before, I think. But Hanna-Barbera had Speed Buggy.
Right.
Cartoon. Croft had Wonderbug, live-action talking dune buggy. The premise was these three teens were poking around a junkyard, found a beat-up old dune buggy, and when you honk the horn, the beat-up old dune buggy would magically transform into Wonderbug, which was a talking, sentient, flying dune buggy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So, like, the headlights would pop open like eyeballs, and it would talk through the bumper. It was like a mouth. And these kids would, you know, ride around in Wonderbug having adventures.
Flying?
Sometimes it would fly, which they used, like, very cheap blue screen type effects. It looked ridiculous.
The best kind.
Oh, the effects on this show. The other great effect on Wonderbug, when they wanted to cut to a shot of Wonderbug having like an actual facial expression, they would cut to a puppet version of the car. So suddenly it wasn't the car itself, like a car that you could drive, because the Crofts were obsessed with puppets. You know,
right.
These were puppeteers. There was a puppet version.
A puppet dune buggy.
But, maybe it fooled the kids back then. I don't know. But watching it now, if you watch Wonderbug, suddenly this ridiculous-looking puppet pops up on the screen.
Yeah, it seems very,
like,
out of place.
Wait a minute, that's not the car I was just looking at. Now it's a goofy puppet car.
It sounds delightful.
Yes. There's even, I've got the, I broke out one of my Croft Super Show comic books that came out back in the mid-70s, and there's Wonderbug right on the cover.
Wonderbug is cute!
See? There's the kids piled into the back of Wonderbug. I was a huge fan of all the shows on the Croft Super Show. And I guess as a reminder, while we're on the subject of Croft Super Show, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl was one of the segments on the Croft Super Show. And the Batcave podcast, as we mentioned earlier, is continuing a series of podcasts about Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. And John, who hosts the Batcave podcast, invited me to be a part of it.
Nice.
So John and I are reviewing each episode of Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. And I think by the time this show comes out, our look at the second episode of Electra Woman and Dinah Girl might be out by now. We just recorded another episode. It's an 8-part series.
Yes. I do recall you mentioning that.
We've done two so far. So look that up. Check out the Batcave podcast. I think we're doing about every month or so, we're going to do another Electra Woman and Dinah Girl episode on the Batcave podcast. So unrelated to Wonderbug, except that they were both segments on the Croft Super Show. I thought you would like Wonderbug.
Yes. I'm a fan.
That was number two. Where are we? Number one.
Number one. Worlds of Wonder.
Worlds of Wonder.
Wow.
What is that?
It was a 1980s American toy company founded by former Atari employees.
Ah.
So here's some of the toys that they made up. There was something in the late 80s called Hop, Skip, and Jump. And that was a jump rope that doubles as a belt or a fashion accessory. Imagine using a jump rope for a belt. Brilliant for a toy, of course. There was the hide and sneak.
What's that?
It transforms the traditional game of hide and seek into a high-tech game of excitement by allowing a player to locate other players with ultrasonic sound. Do you remember this toy at all?
No.
I didn't get to play with one. I think my parents thought it was going to mess up my ears.
Yeah.
And then there was also Splatter Up. You don't remember Splatter Up?
No, I know none of this.
It was a wet version of baseball. And they marketed it as a game. So these things probably don't jump to mind immediately, but I would argue that they were best known back in the mid-80s for Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh, okay. I know that one.
Now, the voice of Teddy Ruxpin, when you turn this animatronic animal on,
yep.
His eyes flutter open. And he sings this song that starts like, "Come dream with me tonight." And this, for me, Kevin, was nightmare fuel.
Because it was Buzz Skaggs?
It was this creepy sounding voice, and I was just always afraid someone was going to come up behind me with a cloth with chloroform on it. "Come dream with me tonight." It's over.
Right, right.
Teddy Ruxpin.
And you wake up in a van.
animatronic animal in your own home.
Yeah.
Freaked me out.
They were scary.
I don't know if anyone in your family had Teddy Ruxpin.
I don't think so.
My brother had a Teddy Ruxpin. And through the mid-80s, all we ever heard was Teddy Ruxpin.
That's all you heard.
Oh my gosh. So the bears move. his mouth and his eyes are moving while he's reading stories that were played on an audio tape cassette built into the bear's back.
There were other things to hear in the mid-80s. You missed it all.
Because I was too busy listening to Teddy Ruxpin singing songs like Have You Ever Thought About a Panda and the Polar Bear Polka.
Have you ever thought about a panda?
Yes, he has a song called Have You Ever Thought About a Panda.
It sounds like a good song. I like the title.
So I think you would have maybe liked Teddy Ruxpin?
No, I don't think so.
Creeped me out. Now, nowadays you can go on the internet and go to YouTube. People finally figured out that, you know, it's an audio tape cassette player.
Yeah.
You can stick something else in that tape player and have Teddy Ruxpin pretty much sing it for you. Mm-hmm. And so there's a great deal of fun on the internet now making Teddy Ruxpin sing like metal songs and stuff. But back in the day, Teddy Ruxpin, you had the toys, you had the books, and the cartoon series even on TV. Yeah.
It was a phenomenon.
I was not a Teddy Ruxpin fan.
And this is all on your list because the name of the company...
The name of the company that put out Teddy Ruxpin was Worlds of Wonder.
Yes. And what was the underwater baseball game again?
Splatter Up.
Splatter Up.
I think I would have had much more fun with Splatter Up. Or even Hide and Sneak.
It sounds very dangerous.
Than Teddy Ruxpin.
All of this sounds very dangerous.
Well, this is what you get when you have former Atari employees make up toys for kids.
Yeah. Stick to Frogger, guys. Number one to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, a little on the nose, a little obvious, but how can we ignore Wonder Woman?
I'm so glad you brought her up, Kevin. Yeah. I was figuring you would.
You assumed I'd take care of our Princess Diana.
Yes.
All right, well, I got her right here. Wonder Woman.
I knew we could count on you.
Come on. Yeah, I can't remember now. Did you see the movie?
Oh, yes.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, Dornail and I went inside in that theater where the people invited us to sit at the table with them. We went inside at a Chunky's.
I have no memory of this at all.
Oh, okay.
Chunky's?
Have you ever heard of Chunky's?
No. That's a movie theater?
Yeah. There's these movie theaters up in New Hampshire.
Do they serve that soup?
I think they serve soup. So you go to the movie theater, but they're seated around tables so that you can order dinner and a beverage and watch your movie that way. So, yeah, Dornail and I went to go see Wonder Woman when it was in the theaters at Chunky's. And it was
I can't get over the name of this theater.
Yeah, Chunky's is a bit of a weird name.
Why did they call it Chunky's?
Yeah, it's not the most appealing of names.
Yeah.
But we went and saw it there. And when we arrived, the only good seats were at a table where a couple of other people were sitting, but there were two empty chairs.
Okay. You shared a table with strangers.
Who were very nice to us.
At Chunky's.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that a soup? Isn't there Chunky's soup?
Yes.
And there's Chunky chocolate bar as well, right?
Yeah, and there's...
And that's the only two things they serve there.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. I've been to the theaters where they serve food, but it's a regular theater with a regular name. It's not a weird Chunky theater. I've never heard of this place. It's freaking me out.
Well, it's where I saw Wonder Woman. And we made friends with people who let us sit at their table.
Yeah. What's your favorite version of Wonder Woman?
Oh, for sure. It was the most recent movie.
It's the latest movie version.
Absolutely.
Gal Gadot.
Yes. And I became a huge fan of her as an actor as well.
She's great. And yet, I'm not sure if I could come out and say that that's my favorite Wonder Woman, because there have been so many. And I feel like I have to be loyal to Linda Carter.
I see that.
70s style. Then you got Kathy Lee Crosby.
The blonde one, right?
The blonde one, yes.
That's my least favorite.
That can't be anybody's favorite. That's ridiculous.
Sorry.
I love it, but that's because I love goofy stuff from the 70s.
Right.
But come on. Man, that was goofy.
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, they did that first. Then they did Linda Carter after that.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I got to stick with Linda.
That's fair.
Yeah. Because it's the best of both worlds, because Linda Carter was fantastic in the role. And at the same time, it's goofy 70s.
Right.
Which I love.
It's all that at once.
Yes. You know, like Wonderbug. I like goofy 70s stuff.
And if you like Wonder Woman a whole lot, you can go into the Flopcast back catalog. We have an entire episode on her.
We have. I looked it up. I checked the database in case this came up. Flopcast episode 238 from, I think, 2016. We were celebrating Wonder Woman's 75th anniversary.
It's jam-packed with awesome Wonder Woman
facts. Go into all kinds of goofy Wonder Woman stuff. The 60s pilot, which was absolutely bizarre. And her TV debut, which strangely happened. Do you remember where? Her animated TV debut?
I don't remember.
The Brady Kids.
Oh, right, right.
The Filmation Brady Bunch cartoon series was the first TV appearance of Wonder Woman. She was a guest on the Brady Kids, because that's how bizarre everything was in the 70s. Yeah, check out Flopcast 238. More Wonder Woman talk. That was my number one. Cornflake, top of your wonder list, what would be at number one half?
Small Wonder.
Ah! I totally forgot about Small
Wonder. No, you didn't.
Yes, not that it would have made my list.
What?
But I'm glad you remembered, because it's certainly worth a mention. Small Wonder was bizarre.
A lady in white with soft curls. A girl unlike other girls.
I know we've discussed it. Yet Out of This World was the girl from space.
That's Evie.
Small Wonder was the robot girl.
That's Vicky.
Yeah.
Yes. And
you watch them both.
Oh, religiously.
Whereas I would see 4 seconds of it, and I would be horrified, and I'd change the channel.
Though I'll admit that I was a bit bigger of a fan of Evie Ethel Garland on Out of This World.
Yeah.
But Vicky on Small Wonder, the goofy fun about this show was that you'd see what looked like a little girl as part of a family, and yet she was kind of a maid, and the family felt bad asking her to do stuff because it was their girl, and yet she was built to assist them, but they had to... They had to treat her like she was a normal part of the family when other people would come over. But Vicky was programmed to do all this stuff to help. And outsiders are like, why are you running this little girl into the ground and like making her do your bidding?
Right, right.
And then like watching her try to fit in at school.
Right. They couldn't explain. No, this is our robot slave girl.
Right.
So it just looked like a regular slave girl to the neighbors.
They had to keep it a secret that she was a...
That tends to raise a red flag amongst the neighbors, as it should.
And she'd get a side eye when she talked like a robot.
She had that creepy robot voice.
Like, seriously, why does your daughter talk like that? And they're trying to explain it away. Oh, it's nothing. It's just the way she looks. But I think part of the fun of watching that show was watching her do things super fast. Mm. And they would use the special effects to make her zoom around and do things quickly that... Or, like, lift things that, like, a little girl could definitely not lift with a deadpan expression on her face like it was nothing.
I'm guessing that these were Wonderbug caliber special effects.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent.
But I would watch the things she would do on that show and be like, I want to do that. I want to be able to just, like, walk out and lift up a car with one hand.
We talked about Small Wonder, I think, on one of our robot shows.
Yes. She's a favorite robot
of
mine.
She was on one of your robot lists. And as I recall, since you're much more familiar with the lore of the show, the history of the show, the details, the sordid, creepy details of the show, didn't the father in the family build the robot?
Yes.
And then to explain the fact that the actor, the girl, was growing older, you know, getting bigger and taller, within the context of the show, they explained that the father would rebuild the robot to make her look older. Is that correct?
It's correct.
And is that not the creepiest thing in the history of television?
I would say it's pretty up there.
You know?
Yeah.
We have the guy saying, you know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to rebuild my daughter.
You know this 11-year-old looking slave girl robot that we have? I'm going to rebuild her so she looks 13. Is that not a problem?
It is a little unsettling.
Did Gary Puckett and the Union Gap have anything to do with this show?
I'm afraid so.
Wow. Small wonder.
But, you know, we're not done here. We need to hear what your number one half is.
Oh, that's a good point. Way Less Creepy is the top of my list. Number one half, sticking in the world of superheroes, as we had with Wonder Woman, and sticking with the DC superheroes, I'm going Wonder Twins.
Oh, wow.
From the Super Friends.
Of course. Didn't even... occur to me.
Wonder Twins, Zan and Jaina.
Of course you would remember.
I'm fascinated by the Wonder Twins. I have been for about 40 years now.
Help me understand what makes them so fascinating to you.
The Wonder Twins. Well, Super Friends started and they had, as the kids on the shows, the superheroes, you know, Batman and Robin, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman. That was the core heroes on the Super Friends. And then they also had Wendy and Marvin, were these two ordinary teenagers who were sort of like superheroes in training, hanging out with the Super Friends. And it was Wendy and Marvin and their dog, named Wonder Dog.
Wonder Doggy.
Another Wonder is a Wonder Dog from, that was season one of the Super Friends. When they went to a new season of Super Friends a couple of years later, they kicked out Wendy and Marvin and Wonder Dog. brought in the Wonder Twins. Mm-hmm. And these were alien teens, Zan and Jaina, from the planet Exor. They got pointy ears like Mr. Spock. And they had a monkey. Space monkey Gleek.
Gleek.
Yeah, you know Gleek. So they show up. Here's your new teen sidekicks on the Super Friends. Their names were sort of inspired by Tarzan and Jane.
Yeah.
You got Zan and Jaina. Visually, they were also, I think, heavily influenced by Donnie and Marie. Donnie and Marie Osmond were huge at the time. In the mid-70s, you know, they were stars of their own variety show, Brother and Sister. And their show was produced by the Crofts, actually, just like Wonderbug. This is all coming together.
Right.
Zan, voiced by Michael Bell. Jaina, voiced by Louise Williams. And they gave them their own segments on the Super Friends where they'd go off and help teenagers with their teen problems.
Right.
And they'd also hang out with the rest of the real superheroes on Super Friends as well. They had bizarre shape-shifting powers. They do the Wonder Twin powers activate. You know, mm-hmm. they tap their hands together.
I think that was the coolest thing about
them. It was
them.
The best. Jaina can transform into any kind of animal. Zan can transform into any kind of water. Usually he'd go with some kind of ice, and it just got ridiculous. He'd be like form of an ice bottle opener. Whatever they needed, it would just be
form of an ice pick.
It would just be made out of ice. It would just be an ice anything, an ice vending machine, whatever they wanted. And Jaina would be an animal. So their preferred method of travel would be Jaina turns into an eagle, Zan turns into water, uh-huh. a bucket would appear out of nowhere. Zan would pour himself into the bucket. Space Monkey Gleek picks up the bucket. Jaina, the eagle, grabs Gleek and flies off. That's how they'd get around.
An eagle, a monkey, and a bucket.
It looked pretty ridiculous.
Sounds like a circus act, honestly.
It was the best. The Wonder Twins. And they were kind of a staple for most of the run of the Super Friends. But the Wonder Twins have been on my mind recently. In fact, this might have been what made me think to do a Wonder List, is there's a new Wonder Twins comic book.
There is.
Which I have right over here.
Neat.
Wonder Twins got their own comic book series. It's a 6-issue comic book series.
Wow, they look cool.
Stephen Byrne is the artist. I'm not familiar with this artist, but he's very good. Mark Russell is the writer, and Mark Russell has become one of my favorite comic book writers over the last few years. I've read a lot of stuff by Mark Russell. There's a lot of satire in most of his work, a lot of like political, social satire. Very, very funny writer, and also just very strong. And he's doing this new Wonder Twins series. I've only read the first issue, and then I stopped, because I'm just going to wait until they put out a collected edition.
I love that they're doing the fist bump on the cover.
Yes, they are. So it kind of starts with Zan and Jaina are new on Earth. They just got to Earth. They're starting at a new high school. And they're also just starting to work at the Hall of Justice. Superman and Batman and the other heroes are working with these kids. Space Monkey Gleek does not appear in this first story, although he is on the cover. You can see there's a little tiny...
He's peering out of a locker in the
shadows.
Background.
Yeah, they're leaning up against their lockers at school, and there's Gleek making a little subtle appearance on the cover. So I'm hoping Gleek appears in later issues of this series. But Mark Russell, he did a series called Prez, which was about a teenage girl that becomes president a couple of years ago, which was great. He's done The Flintstones a couple of years ago, which was fantastic. And again, the whole thing was like social satire. It was great. He's writing Red Sonja now. He wrote the Lone Ranger comic. And everything I've read by this guy has been really good. But especially, I was delighted by this first issue of Wonder Twins. So how can I not put those pesky twins at the top of the list? So
that's
there you go, Cornflake.
Where they belong.
Absolutely. There's our Wonder List.
Can we have honorable mentions?
I suppose. What do you have?
I have just one.
Yeah?
I probably should have put this directly in my list as opposed to a song that I really don't like. This was a song that I really did like from the 90s.
Yep.
Oasis's Wonderwall.
Yeah, I know that song.
Now, again, it's a little bit inescapable back in the day.
Yeah, but I feel like I got pretty sick of that song.
But I still liked it better than any of the other Oasis songs I heard on the radio.
Here's just one more that I will throw out now that our list is done, and I'm surprised did not make your list as a Weird Al fan. What about Harvey the Wonder Hamster?
Oh my goodness!
Uh-huh.
Do you know my story about Harvey the Wonder Hamster?
I don't think I do.
Do you remember Steve from my college years?
Yeah.
Steve and I were in a car one time and we're driving around New Hampshire, and I'm originally from New Hampshire and he's not. So we drive by this road and it's Harvey Road. And I turned to Steve and I said, did you know that the folks here in New Hampshire named that road for Harvey the Wonder Hamster? And I said it just like that. He goes, wow. And then a year or so later, he repeated that fact back to somebody else, at which point I had to tell him it wasn't true.
So he just bought it.
Klein and Zinker.
Wow. I guess for New Hampshire, that is believable.
You're right.
Because everything's kind of crazy up there.
It's true.
Yeah. You could tell me that most of the state representatives up there are hamsters, and I would believe you. I don't know what's happening up there.
They might be.
They might very well be.
I've not been paying attention myself these
days. They took over the government, and they named all the roads after other hamsters. I would buy that. Well, Cornflake, that was a fine, fine wonder list. Listeners, if we left off your favorite wonder thing, let us know. How can people find us?
They should go to flopcast.net. For starters, that's our website. And hey, you can find us on Facebook too, facebook.com/flopcast, or on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast.
Yes, well, Cornflake, thanks for joining me for a weird wonder list.
Thank you for suggesting it. That was fun.
Let's hop in the old wonder bug and get out of here. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Do you enjoy TV shows, movies, video games, comics, or novels? Do you enjoy listening to people discuss geeky topics without getting bent out of shape when they disagree? If you do, then the 42cast is right for you. We're a podcast with a rotating cast of guests that discusses a new topic every week. You can find us on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Google Play, or 42cast.com. You can also support us and the entire ESO Network by going to patreon.com/ESO Network. That's the 42cast, your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything.
And it's the secret after show. Look, Cornflake, what do you have for the secret people?
Think back over this week's episode. Do you realize it has both capes and apes without us even trying?
There are capes and there are apes in this episode, even though we did not do our legendary capes or apes segment.
True. We had superhero talk.
Yep.
And we had talk about Gleek.
Space Monkey Gleek.
There you go. Capes or apes, all in this show.
Some people found Gleek annoying.
Really? Now, did Gleek change over the years? I feel like we talked about this. He's just
not
always...
Not that I recall.
Okay. So he was always kind of a twerp? Or...
Gleek would come in handy sometimes.
Right.
And he had that long, weird tail. It could just stretch out forever. Sometimes they'd all be trapped somewhere by a supervillain or whatever, and then Gleek would stretch out his tail and pull the switch to set him free, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then Gleek would be the comic relief at the end of the episode. He'd be doing something stupid, and they would all look at Gleek and laugh, and that's the end of the show.
On a scale of 1 to Scrappy-Doo, how would you rate Gleek?
Oh, I think people feel much more positively about Gleek than about Scrappy.
I think I would have to agree with you there.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.